Other people say, and particularly this is how people want you to understand, don't judge me. They would say, you need to suspend your critical faculties. In other words, don't be critical about me. When it comes to being to having an opinion, when it comes to understanding what I'm doing, I need you to suspend your critical abilities, suspend your critical faculties of others. And that's what they mean. They mean, don't be critical of me. Don't be critical of my lifestyle. Don't be critical of my choices. Don't be critical of what I'm doing. But that's not what it means either. Jesus isn't saying for us to pretend that we have no way of assessing mentally how people are acting or behaving. In other words, they say, pretend not to notice my faults. And this is generally how the world will use this text. When you say, you probably shouldn't be doing that. Well, don't judge me. You probably shouldn't live that way. Don't judge me. You don't need to talk that way or say that. Don't judge me. And they're saying, suspend all your critical abilities. Suspend all your abilities to understand what's right and what's wrong. Stop doing that and don't notice my faults. The problem is that Jesus calls you to be different from the world. How can you be different from the world if you cannot assess what is worldly and what is not? How can you be different from the rest of humanity if you don't know what it means to live and act in a sinful way versus what it means to live and act like a Christian ought to? You have to have critical skills. You have to have the ability to think through, this is right, this is wrong. So Jesus is not saying suspend your critical faculties, suspend your ability to understand right and wrong. He says, be the light of the world, be the salt of the world. How so if we have no critical thought? And so I don't think Jesus is saying there's no law courts. I don't think he's saying don't have an ability to understand what's right and what's wrong. Don't suspend your ability to understand what to do and what not to do and how to live and how not to live. So what does judge not really mean? If it isn't assessing people critically, and what is it then? I think it has to do more with how do we judge people? How harsh are we? Remember, it goes back to that idea of the measure that you use will be used against you. So Jesus is saying, are you going around looking for reasons to beat people down? Are you looking for areas in people's lives just to say, hey, you got wrong things going on here. Let me fix it for you. Believe it or not, there are some Christians or people who claim to be Christians in our world who really thrive at doing that. They really enjoy beating people down and saying, you know what? You are wrong and you are horrible and I can't believe you're sinning that way. And they're harsh in the way that they treat people. And the world just wants to back away and say, I don't want anything to do with Christianity. Because we don't show them what it means to be loved by God, what it means to love God. I'm not saying that there aren't going to be critical times in your life where you have to say, you know what, that is wrong. But it's not you who's saying it. It's God through his scripture saying, no, we shouldn't live that way. We should live a different way. We should be different. We need to be light. We need to be salt. And so Jesus says, don't judge, because when you do judge, you'll be judged in the same manner. The problem with judging is that when we set ourselves as judge, it means that we lift ourselves up and we look down on others. I don't know if you've ever been in a courtroom or in a law court. A few months back, I got the little card that says, we're going to need you for jury duty. And so I went for jury duty. Thank God I brought a book because, man, that was a total waste of my time. And we got there and we're sitting behind glass and we're able to see what's going on in the court itself. And it was one of those days where they're saying, okay, these are the people that are going to judge you, or these are the people who are going to make a decision about you. Do you really want to go to trial or not? And so the judge stands up, or he sits up on the bench. And I've noticed this, every courtroom I've gone in is that the judge is not on the same level as you. The judge is not sitting on the floor. He's sitting at least one or two steps up. And it's this idea of the judge being over you. And the problem is this. When we lift ourselves up as judge and we start judging people, we lift ourselves up and we say, I'm better than you. Now again, this is how not to judge. This is how when we take on this attitude of I'm better than you, then people say, well, don't judge me. It has nothing to do with being salt and light. It's the manner in which we judge wrongly. And so when we lift ourselves up and we say, look, I'm better than you and I'm going to set myself up as judge, what I'm doing is I'm making you my subject. And I promise you, I don't have the ability to be above you. I don't have the ability to be someone who's better than you. I am unable to say, I judge you. I don't qualify to be your judge. Guess why? Because I'm just like you. The things you struggle with, I may struggle with. I may struggle with things that you don't struggle with. There is sin in my life. There's sin in your life. And so I can't say I'm going to rise up above that and I'm going to judge you and tell you that you are a horrible person and that you are doing this or you are doing that. Now, I can sit back and say, hey, this is what Scripture says. And hopefully that is how I approach things and that's how I treat people and that's how I talk to people, not as someone who thinks that they're above them, superior to them in any kind of mindset. Because the thing is this, I'm on the same plane as you. You're on the same plane as anybody else. We don't get to rise up and say, I'm better than you. Because we are all broken people. We are all people who are affected by the fall. We call it the fall back in Genesis chapter 3. It's when mankind first sins and we fall from the glorious place that we were to the sinful people that we are now. So we're all affected by sin. We're all affected by fallen world. And if we rise up to judge, we usurp God. Because God is the only one who is able to truly pass judgment. And in actuality, we're among the judge. We're among those being judged. See, here's the thing. We want to judge sometimes and say, you are a horrible person and you're going to hell. But then when someone talks about us, we say, oh, God, give me mercy and grace. You can't be judged and then plead for mercy and grace. We should give mercy and grace to everyone. So Jesus begins to tell us, or he gives a parable, really, is what he does. He says, some of you, you want to take the speck out or the little piece, the splinter, maybe your Bible may say, the little piece of wood out of somebody else's eye, yet you've got a log or a plank in your own eye. You want to see the sin in others, but you don't see the sin in your own life. And he says, instead of doing that, clean out your own eye so that you can clearly see the sin in someone else's eye. So instead of judging others, we need to really look at ourselves and judge ourselves. And say, what's going on in my life that I need to correct? What's going on in my life that I need to get straight? And if we don't have the proper vision, if we don't have the proper lens to look through, then we don't treat people properly. We don't judge, or we don't talk about people. We don't instruct them and encourage them in right living and in right attitudes when we've got all this sin in our lives. Several months ago, I was watching a football game, And it was a spring game, and all of a sudden everything was blurry. And I just thought they had bad cameras because it was a spring game. But when I changed the channel, it stayed blurry. And I thought my TV's messed up. But as I looked around, everything else was blurry. And I woke up the next morning, and it was a Sunday morning, and it was still blurry and almost worse. I could barely read if something was not close to me. What had happened was my blood sugar shot up, and so one of the effects of that is that sometimes your vision goes blurry, and it's your body saying, hey, there's a problem, you better check this out. My point is this, though, if I try to correct someone's driving or correct someone's pronunciation of a word or correct someone's ability to understand or see something, correct a color or correct something that they saw, I would not be able to because my eyes were really, really blurry. I couldn't see past 5 feet or so. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, when you try to clean up somebody else's life and all you've got in your life is sin, you don't see clearly. The thing is this, we always minimize our own sin and we want to maximize the sin in someone else's life. And Jesus says, be careful with that. Be careful with that. He's not saying don't help a brother out, but he's saying first judge your own life. First, judge what's going on in your own life. Again, we're not qualified to be judges because we are sinners too. How do we judge sinners when we are also sinners? Nevertheless, we tend to exaggerate other faults and minimize our own. So Jesus says, look inward. Get the log out of your own eye so that you can get the speck out of someone else's eye. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say there's not a speck in someone else's eye. He doesn't say that there's not a time and a place to judge or a time and a place to offer help or a time and a place to say, look, your life, a brother or sister, is not lining up with Scripture. And we need to talk about that. We need to work through that. Chrysostom is a very famous preacher who lives in the 300s, 400s, and he says this. He says, don't be a hypocrite, basically, but he makes this statement. He says, correct your brother or your sister, not as a foe, not as an enemy, not as someone who wants to harm them. So correct him, but not as a foe, not as an adversary exacting a penalty, but as a physician providing medicine. Correct him as a brother, but correct him not as a foe and not as an adversary exacting a penalty, but as a physician providing medicine. A lot of us enjoy telling someone they're wrong. Growing up as a teenager, I've said this before, I was a Pharisee and I was good at it, and I enjoyed telling you were wrong. Like, you are a sinner, shame on you. I had all kind of logs in my eyes, but I saw a bunch of specks in yours. Thankfully, God has given me grace, and I see those logs a lot more than the specks in your eye. He's saying, look, if you're going to help a brother out, it's a good thing. But do it in a way that provides medicine like a physician does. Do it like someone who loves them and cares about them. Not as someone who's saying, look, I'm going to get that sucker now. Not as an enemy, not as a foe, not as an adversary who's saying, I'm going to get this penalty out of them, but as a brother. As a sister, he says, look, I love you. And there's some things in your life that doesn't line up. Again, the world says, don't judge me. But Jesus is talking to Christians who are going to treat other Christians a certain way. Let maybe you've gone around and you've said, look, I really enjoy telling people they're wrong. Maybe you were like me. You knew what was right. You could tell them where it was in the Bible, and you could tell them how horrible they were. But all the while, you missed the sin in your own eyes. You missed the plank in your own eye. You missed the log in your own eye, and you couldn't really see clearly to offer love to them. You couldn't see clearly to offer them a better way. You just treated them as an adversary and as harshly as possible. If that's the case, if you still do that today, you need to repent. You need to ask forgiveness of that, because here's the deal. When you realize that there's lots of sin in your life, you decide, I'm not going to judge you, because I want to be judged with grace and mercy. And so you offer grace and mercy to someone else. Now understand this, grace and mercy oftentimes comes with a change. Maybe a change in what we do, a change in what we say, a change in how we treat people. Grace and mercy says, hey, let's fix this. Not I'm going to beat you down for being horrible. And you say, well, what about those people who I try to correct in love? I try to correct them and tell them that this is how we should be. That I try to treat them as a physician given medicine, but they think that I'm a foe trying to exact the penalty from them. What do I do? What about the world, or what about those who don't want the wisdom of Scripture? Jesus gives us that answer in verse 6. He says, hey, don't give what is holy to dogs, and don't throw at the feet of pigs, unless they're going to turn on you and they're going to trample you. So Jesus is saying this, the world will not understand Christian wisdom. The world will not accept what God says about a way to live. Proverbs says it this way in chapter 9, verse 8. He says, don't rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. And I think that sums up what Jesus is trying to say here. You know, when you rebuke, or I know that's a tough or harsh term sometimes, but when you try to say, brother or sister, I love you, and I see this going on in your life, how can we get that right? How can I pray for you? How can we change that? The wise person will love you for it. Maybe not right away, but they will come to love you, that you've been gracious to them and you've been loving to them. But sometimes people who have problems, and you say, look, God says this, Scripture says this, live in a way, and all they do is mock it. They make fun of you. They laugh at you. Jesus says, look, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give what's holy to dogs, because they just don't know what to do with it. So as we come to the climax of this, what is Jesus teaching us? Is he saying, look, forget that you can be critical thought and realize this is right and this is wrong? He's not saying that. He's saying be wise in it. He's saying have balance in it. Be careful how you treat people. Don't go around with this harsh attitude of I'm better than you and I got my nose stuck up in the air and no one likes me, but you know what? I'm holy. He says that's a hypocritical attitude. You can't be salt and light with your nose up in the air. Go around knowing that there's sin in your life, trying to work that out before you offer help and advice to someone else. It's hard for the Christian world to talk about certain sin and then realize we've got those same problems. The church can't go after homosexuality and say it's wrong when we've got sexual sin in our own life. We've got church people who maybe just live together instead of get married. It's easier that way. We say, that person's horrible. And Jesus says, it's all sexual sin. You've got a log in your eye. You say, I can't believe that, you know, so-and-so lies so much. Yet we look in our own life and we're full of liars and thieves. We've got to do it with grace. We've got to do it with balance. I'm not saying don't call sin sin. God's word makes sin clear. But our message, the way we deliver our message, needs to be filled with grace and love. So maybe you've been someone who's not been filled with grace and love, and you need to spend time with God right now and say, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to go to certain people and apologize for the way you've treated them. Maybe you say, look, I judged you harshly when God judged me with grace and mercy. And I'm sorry. Maybe some of you have logs in your eyes that you refuse to deal with. You may know they're there, but you don't want to deal with them. Maybe there's sin in your life that you're like, look, I see the sin in that person's life, but mine's not that bad. There's no such thing as sin that's not that bad for a Christian. So God says, deal with that. Get it out of your life. Seek repentance. Seek a way to get that sin out of your life. And when we talk to people, we need to demonstrate an attitude of Christian love rather than that of judgment. We give them love and not harsh punishment. And the world will be attracted to Jesus. So as Drake plays, invite you to stand, spend time with God. Maybe people have judged you harshly and you need to forgive them. Whatever God's dealing with you right now, will you seek Him?